Okay, that's an excellent question and an excellent follow-up to the point that the gentleman over here made. And this was one of the major battles in this treaty, the question of whether or not ISPs or other service providers could be forced to construct their technology in such a way as to allow for this type of recording of data and surveillance. And there was great concern about this because in the United States we had passed a law that we call CALEA, which many of you may be familiar with. And CALEA basically was a law that required telecommunications providers to have technological capabilities within their systems that permitted law enforcement eavesdropping, that facilitated law enforcement eavesdropping. And when this treaty was being negotiated, people were very concerned that these provisions about procedural data collecting were another kind of CALEA for the ISPs, for the data, that had to do not with telecommunications but with data communications. And through great efforts at lobbying, the treaty has added a provision that says that this type of data collection has to be within the technological capabilities of the ISP, that there's not a CALEA-type provision in here that requires ISPs or remailers or that sort of thing to enable this type of evidence collection or surveillance. Many people feel that those provisions, as they now stand in the treaty, are not strong enough. But there is that language in the treaty and the notes that explain what the Council of Europe was thinking when they were writing this thing, which I also often ask myself, say that they specifically do want to avoid this, what is called the CALEA problem. So thanks for that question. Search and seizure is another issue. Yes. The question is, will ISPs be prohibited from informing customers when these requests are made? And the answer is that yes, there are provisions in this treaty that say that there has to be a way to hide the fact of this investigation from the customer. Now, what the parameters of that provision are, I'm not totally familiar with, but I have a copy of the treaty with me, and we can look it up. So, if you want to come up after, and people who are interested in the nuances of that question, we can look that up in the treaty and see if it's possible for us to decipher what, in fact, it might mean. Search and seizure is an issue. And the main question with search and seizure was a problem with transborder searches. Are we going to let law enforcement agencies from France or Britain or, you know, other countries come into the United States and search our computer servers here? Basically, the way that problem was resolved was to say, no, we're not going to allow that. But what we are going to allow is we're going to enable local law enforcement to do searching, and then we're going to have local law enforcement promise that they're going to cooperate. One part of this search and seizure provision is that the law enforcement, there should have to be laws passed which allow law enforcement to order a person with knowledge about the system or about the data protection measures to provide the ability to search, seize, or copy the data. So we're going to talk about that a little bit, but just think about that for a second. I'm sorry? Is provide different from enable? You should be a lawyer, because that's a good question. I mean, we don't know. Basically, what that provision has been interpreted as meaning is that it is a challenge or a danger or a threat to encryption rights in countries, that the person who's protected his data or her data with an encryption key would then have to be able to provide the ability to law enforcement to search that data, meaning that they may have to turn over their key. And that butts up directly against Fifth Amendment protections here in the United States, as well as creates a host of other problems. So whether provide means enable, I don't know. But if you're asking me whether that means that encryption rights are threatened, the answer is yes.